The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Book 5, Chapter 5. As I mentioned, we're going to be trying to default to going through Marcus Aurelius' Meditations in order, and this is where we're up to. Okay, here we go. Granted, they cannot admire you for your intellect, but there are many other qualities of which you cannot say, but that is no gift of mine. So display those virtues which are wholly in your power: integrity, dignity, hard work, contempt for indulgence, contentment with your portion, frugality, kindness, freedom, plain living, reserve in speech, magnanimity. Do you not see how many virtues you can already display without any excuse of lack of talent or aptitude? And yet you are still content to lag behind. Or does the fact that you lack this specific inborn talent oblige you to complain, to be grasping, to flatter, to blame your poor body, to be obsequious, to vaunt yourself, to brag, to be tossed about in your mind? No, by heaven, it does not. You could have gotten rid of all this long ago and only be charged, if charged there is, with being rather slow and dull of comprehension. And yet even this can be worked on unless you ignore or welcome your stupidity. Okay, so the thing that grabbed my attention immediately was that first line. Granted, they cannot admire you for your intellect. Okay, so I think I was amused by that because, I mean, how many people, you know, if you made a list, how many people have survived the test of time in terms of their intellectual contributions and been admired and read for, you know, for essentially now, close to two millennia, you know, very short list, right? But Marcus Aurelius is definitely up there. I did have one person though, once tell me when I mentioned that I was, studying Marcus Aurelius, he said, he wasn't a real philosopher. And I kind of inwardly rolled my eyes. I'm like, yeah, I think you and I might differ about what it means to be a real philosopher. But anyway, so let's go through Pshat here, okay? And then I want to talk this through in terms of how it applies to my own life, because I gotta, you know, I gotta share my self-talk here, because this is a big one. All right, so what he's saying is like this. He, for whatever reason, he's saying that he does not feel like he was born with an aptitude for intellectual matters, right? But then he says he has many other qualities that are entirely in his control. In other words, you can't control, like the Rambam writes in Shmona Prakim, in the first, where does he write this? I mean, he really focuses on it in the last chapter, I believe, about free will. Is that the last chapter? I always forget. I don't have time to look it up right now. But he says, you know, everyone is born with certain predispositions or raised with certain predispositions, right, through nature or nurture. And you can't control those, really, but you can control what you do with them. So Marcus Aurelius is saying he was not born with an aptitude, a predisposition for intellectual success, but rather he was born with being rather slow and dull of comprehension. And then he's giving himself some self-talk, saying, well, are you just going to say, well, that's it, like, and write yourself off? Of course not. You have many other qualities that are entirely within your control. And then he lists all of these moral virtues that he has that he can exercise control over. And then he says, if you are, you can either focus on those or you can not focus on those and then just continue to lag behind even more. And obviously, that's the wrong decision. Or you can place the blame, you could try to avoid, you know, you could relate to this lack of inborn talent in an unhealthy way by placing the blame on your body or bragging about these other qualities that you have, finding these other strategies of avoidance. But at the end of the day, like, you know, you have whatever intellectual aptitude that you were given, and there's a certain set capacity that you can have. I think I talked about this on a fairly recent episode about being content with your portion in Torah that we ask for in our Shabbos Tefillos of Sein Chalkeinu B'Sor Hasacha. Give us our portion in your Torah. My portion is not the same as Rabbi Akiva's or Rav Moshe Feinstein or the Rambam, but I have my own portion. But I can continue to apply my own free will choices to develop that to my capacity. Okay, so that's Marcus Aurelius. Okay, but why did this catch my eye for myself. So I have, I guess, since I've become Jewish, since I converted to Judaism in when I was in 11th grade, and I have always struggled with a certain inferiority complex and feeling like I need to catch up. I mean, I did need, quote unquote, to catch up when I first started, you know, my Jewish education in 11th grade, and I made it my goal to, you know, reach the highest shiur in the highest Talmud class in my high school by the end of my senior year, which I did. And then I went to yeshiva after that, and I still felt behind. And I felt, you know, behind in skills, I felt behind in knowledge, I felt behind in experience. And most of all, I felt behind in intellectual aptitude. I'm sure many people would say this about their own yeshivas that they've been to, or their own, seminaries. But my yeshiva is filled with brilliant minds, and it is intimidating to be among so many brilliant minds. And I feel like even though there is a lot that I realize that I could develop on my own, there is always this feeling of I am, you know, if I were to rank everybody, I rank very low compared to my peers. I mean, and I'm speaking here of the peers who I went to yeshiva with through my 7 years of yeshiva. I'm speaking of my rebbeim, my teachers, and then, you know, many students who came after me are, you know, were way more talented in Talmudic analysis than I was and still am. So what I did was, I think this is a very good move, is when I first got to yeshiva, then out of high school, and sensed this, and sensed that I was still working on myself, and that I'm never gonna, you know, feeling like I'm never gonna catch up, or I can't measure up to these other people. What I did was I said, okay, well, what can I do, and what quality can I work on? And I didn't know about this Marcus Aurelius, but this was just the natural, this is what I decided to take, and I'll explain why in a little while. I said, okay, one thing I can do is I can work hard. And you know, I was a very good student, and I channeled all of my energy into getting straight A's. But then I'm outside of the school environment, so I'm going to channel all my energy into my work here in yeshiva. And what am I going to work on? Clarity. You know, as I mentioned, I got into the highest shiur in my high school the end of 12th grade, and that was Rabbi Fox. And Rabbi Fox, in my mind, is a paradigm of clarity, the clearest thinker and writer and speaker that I know, I think still to this day. And I basically try to internalize his voice, that whatever I learned, I pretended that I was being quizzed, you know, by Rabbi Fox. And if I couldn't state it with state my ideas and state my what I learned with that level of clarity, if it couldn't pass muster to Rabbi Fox, so then I was falling short. And that's something that is in my control, because no matter how talented you are in intellect, you can always get clear what it is that you're learning, you know, and strive for maximum clarity. So that became my goal, is hard work and clarity. And what ended up happening is that got me very far, you know. And I think that was kind of my program, so to speak, for my 7 years in yeshiva. I don't really think I had started to develop. I mean, I had my own areas of interest, but I don't think I had started to develop, goals and objectives that were uniquely dictated by my interests. I was following my yeshiva's program, as I should have during those days. But I think that was the program I took. But the inspiration I got was really from, surprise, surprise, my Rebbe, Rabbi Moskowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rabbi Moskowitz was a role model of being a non-genius. Okay, and this is not my words. He hasn't said the word genius in himself, but he's talked a lot about how when he was in yeshiva, he wanted to be a posek. He wanted to be a halachic adjudicator. I think he also mentioned at one point that he wanted to be like on the level of like a rosh yeshiva, of like the head of a yeshiva, to give these like masterful Talmudic classes and analyses. And he said that he realized at an early age that he did not have the aptitude. Specifically, he said he didn't have the memory for it. And he said, in order to be a posek, you need to have a really good working memory. And Rabbi Moskowitz has a horrible memory, as any of his students would attest to. And so he decided then to work on the areas that that he did have an aptitude for, namely Musar, not Musar movement Musar, but the area of character development and specifically through Mishle, and then methodology. That if he cannot be can't be a Talmudic genius, he can figure out how Talmudic geniuses operate, and then use their techniques in his limited realm, and that's what made Rabbi Moskowitz, is focusing on those two areas of methodology and ethics. I grew up, so to speak, in my developmental years with, two main paradigms of like the highest levels that I could reach. There's Rabbi Moskowitz, my Rebbe, and then Rabbi Chait, Rav Yisrael Chait, the Rosh HaYeshiva, who is a genius and who did, who is still the greatest intellect that I've ever met and interacted with. And it was, I think, a very, very good thing that I had those two role models, because in yeshiva, the qualities I was working on were the qualities exhibited by Rabbi Chait, but yet I knew that I couldn't reach that level. And so I had Rabbi Moskowitz as my role model, that it's okay to not be a brilliant philosopher. It's okay to not be a Talmudic genius, but what's not okay is to not work on the qualities that you do have. In other words, if there are qualities within your control, like Marcus Aurelius is saying, then you should work on those and develop those to your capacity. And for me, again, it was hard work and clarity. Those were the two things I chose to work on. So fast forward to after I left yeshiva and started my career as a high school teacher. So there, I think once I was outside of the yeshiva in terms of my day-to-day, then I did start, I channeled my work into becoming the best teacher I could be, and then developing my curricula and my lessons and my classroom management, et cetera, et cetera. And then that's when I really started to branch out and find out who I am as a learner and what my interests are and what unique things I have to bring to the table. And that was this period of, I guess you could call it 13 years, 12 years, I'm not exactly sure, when you want to draw the line. I don't want to talk about that right now. That's its own thing. But here's why I'm bringing this up now. This happened to coincide very well with yesterday. So I'm recording this on Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. Yesterday was the first day of yeshiva of the 2022-2023 academic year. And due to a miraculous, quote-unquote, set of circumstances, I find myself for the first time in 13 years, with an opening in my morning schedule, which allows me to go to my Rebbe's Gemara Shir, to Rav Pesach Shir, which I was in for 6 out of my 7 years of yeshiva, from basically 2003 to 2009, I was in Rav Pesach's Gemara Shir, and I have not been able to attend a regular Gemara Shir since 2009. I never thought I'd be able to. I thought I would be teaching all morning, and so I have, for now at least, I don't know if this is going to change, the ability to attend Rav Pesach's Gemara Shir. So yesterday was the first day of Shir, and I go in, and immediately I'm plagued with all these feelings of self-doubt again. Here I am, like I'm not talented in Gemara. Now I have a healthier confidence in the areas that I am talented in, but I'm not talented in Gemara. And like there are people in the Shir who exceed me in many ways in the intellectual virtues of Gemara study. And I felt like that old, first year yeshiva guy, inferiority complex again, of like, who am I to measure up to this? How can I do this? I'm not cut out for this. All these self-doubts started creeping in. And then that's when I remembered what policy I had when I came to yeshiva, which is, okay, I cannot control my own, my inborn talent level, okay, in terms of how my mind, you know, how far I can get. I also can't control certain things about how my mind works. You know, there are habits that I can exercise mastery over, but here's the thing, I still have those two qualities, hard work and clarity, and I can strive to maximize those in application to being in my Rebbe's shir now. And yeah, circumstances are different. Back then I was in yeshiva all day, and that was my sole focus. Now I have other, you know, I'm in yeshiva all day, but I have my classes I'm teaching, et cetera. And I don't even have time to prepare for the shir. I just have time to attend the shir and to review the shir with a review chavrusa. But I can still strive to maximize these two things, hard work and clarity. And that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do that. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, this is again, goes without saying, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And no one's thinking, like, people aren't thinking of you, you know? I mean, that's something that, thankfully, I realize much more now, having aged, that I think the older you get, then the easier it is to realize that no one's thinking about you, and those who are thinking about you don't really matter. It doesn't matter at all, you know? And it's funny because, like, you know, since I'm in Shir again, I'm like, you know, I'm taking notes. Now, I haven't been in the Gemara Shir since my yeshiva days, and I became stupidly self-conscious of the fact that I'm taking notes. This moment of like self-doubt, like, oh, are people looking at me that I'm taking notes? And then I'm like, that's so dumb. Like, I'm taking notes for a reason. I'm taking notes because it helps me to think. I'm taking notes because it helps me to filter out the other sounds going around me. I'm taking notes because it helps me to review shir afterwards. You know, who cares what other people think? Like, and no one's thinking about it anyway, you know? So this is the process of grappling with your own chelek, your own lot in life intellectually. And again, I'm very grateful that I have a role model in Rabbi Moskowitz, for accepting his chelek fully and allowing me to see that and to see what you can accomplish when you accept your level in intellect. And again, accepting your level in intellect does not mean leaning into your stupidity and to your ignorance. I mean, that's how Marcus Aurelius concludes when he says, at the end, like, hold on a second, my computer went to sleep. When he says, and yet even this can be worked on unless you ignore or welcome your stupidity. You know, the only thing that you can be that you can rightfully beat yourself up about is for failing to acknowledge this fact and act accordingly. You know, this fact of accepting your aptitude and then working on the areas that are in your control. So I think this is something that I needed to encounter. This is an idea that I needed to encounter at the outset of yeshiva, now that I'm going to be in my back in the Gemara Shir. And I think this is healthy for my students to think about as they start their yeshiva year. And I intend to share this with them and hope that they take it to heart. Again, easier said than done, and easier to do when you are older than when you are younger. But there's no time like the present to start. So that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis. My Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.